Hey everyone, it's Judy from Stirring Words, where Kim and I chat every week about God's wisdom on wellness. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a session. But in the meantime, listen in now on our weekly phone conversation. Miss Kimberly.
Hey Judy, girl, am I happy to hear from you today?
Well, I'm happy you're happy. It's a happy day. And I thank God that you called me. Oh, sorry. I'm happy you're happy. And I got some stuff to say to you and our listeners today. Because let me just tell you what, sister, if I might just jump in. The next 2 weeks, I'm titling in this series that's based on Sprinkle Clean, which is my book, but the next 2 weeks I'm calling Behold Him. And I love those two words put together. And today, under that context of beholding Jesus, we're going to look at the power of God's word and prayer. And then next week, we're going to talk about praise and people. Ooh, people. That's a tough one. So would you pray us in? We need some blessing today.
Amen, sister. Gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we are overjoyed to be here, gathered around your word and eager to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, because we know that your word is life-giving and life-sustaining. So, Lord, we pray for all of our listeners here that they will have that confidence that you are even now perfecting everything that concerns them. And we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, sister. So we've had some tough sessions, Kim. I just have to say, anybody who has the courage to gather a gaggle and work through Sprinkled Clean is courageous, because it's tough work, because we talk about pride. We talk about adultery. Not adultery. Well, maybe we do, but we talked about idolatry. But today and next week is the answer. And it's not only the spiritual answer, Kim, but it is the physical answer. I'm like pounding my fist on my knee going, this is the answer to the physical challenges that diets proclaim they are and they are not. So I just had to say that as a preface, because so last week I quoted David Platt. He's a very well-known pastor nationally. He preaches at McLean Bible Church in Virginia. He said, we become what we behold. Where we focus our minds comes out in our lives. The more we look to Christ, the more we'll look like Christ. I just think that is so profound. I'm going to break it down. We become what we behold. Where we focus our minds comes out in our lives. And the more we look to Christ, the more we'll look like Christ. So let's start at the beginning. What does it mean to behold? You know, I'm a wordy. There's a foodie. I guess there's a wordy, right? Am I wordy? I don't know if that's a word, but now it is. So behold means to contemplate, to observe, to perceive, to regard. I mean, it's like pay attention, right? So how exactly do we do that? And I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with Paul's passage in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 that says, put off your old self. That's the old life, it's the former manner of life, corrupt through deceitful desires, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's a mouthful. And I feel like that's a map for beholding. So, like I said today, we're going to look at beholding from two perspectives. And the first is putting on, beholding God's word. So Sinclair Ferguson is one of my faves. You can find him on the Gospel Coalition. www.thebrightlight.org. That's where I typically listen to his sermons. And he made a statement based on when he did a sermon on Psalm 1 that says, there is a relationship between being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Word of God. Oh, I love that. I mean, is that so nail on the head? That's it. I mean, that is the Christian life. That is sanctification. That is triumph. That's just, you got to know that's going to be coming up soon. That's going to be my new word, but that is victory. This relationship with being filled with the Spirit, which we all talk about, it is the Spirit that we want to act out of that Spirit fullness rather than our flesh. And there's this relationship with being filled with the Word of God. So, Kim, you did a series, and I am, or led us in a series, that I am going to encourage our listeners to go back and revisit. It was back in June and July, even through August of 2021. So it's been a while, but I have to tell you, listeners, there is some great content on our Stirring Words feed. So go back and listen. I mean, it's still true even since 2021. So anyway, the name of your series, Kim, was God's Word is Food, which I love that title. That was a great series. So I want to ask our listeners, so beyond family and friends, do you follow anybody on social media? And why? Why do you choose to follow this person, that person? What draws you to their comments, to their story? And I would ask, dig even deeper and say, what value does that time and attention give you? And then I would say, if Jesus was posting, would you be following him? When in fact, he has a ton of posts, and it's called the Holy Word of God. The Bible is God-breathed, says 2 Timothy 3:16. And Peter said in his second chapter, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible, you guys, is God's message to us. And so it's not simply this ancient commentary, right, from these old biblical wear funny clothes people. It is God's word. It is him speaking directly to us, his children. And you know what? He ain't limited to 280 characters. So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that God's word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I have to tell you, that was a big one when I wrote Sprinkle Clean, because that just knocks you right over and spoke directly to me on my anger issues. And I have to tell you, you know, God's word stepping up for reproof and correction, that takes some courage. Because that's part of what God's reading God's word is going to do. You're stepping up for reproof and correction. I mean, that's what it says, right? Right there in Timothy. So again, that was a little intimidating, but I was drawn to the concept of being equipped for every good work. Like I hung on to that piece of it. Lord, equip me for every good work, which means I go into a situation that I'm not that happy about and like keep my mouth shut, right? And for you, it might be equip me for every tempting scenario. I've mentioned this a million times. I am confident that I am incompetent. And I need training in righteousness, like every minute of every day. So I ask you, would you too like to be equipped for every good work when it comes to self-care, when it comes to those temptations of the flesh that sabotage you physically? And another fabulous verse is Titus 2, 11 and 12 that we actually looked at last week. And hey, we're looking at it again because it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training, there's that word again, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. There it is. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. That, Kim, oof. So again, train. What does that mean? To train us, to develop, to form new habits, new thoughts, new behaviors. To help a person by discipline and instruction. I mean, training isn't always that fun. Let's just call that training. I mean, ask an athlete, whether it's a high school kid, a college kid, or professionals. Training is hard. Like if you're not exhausted after a good training session, you didn't work hard enough and you're not training very well, right? So training is hard. But God is our coach. God is going to help us with this process. And that's exactly the promises that we've just read. There's another fabulous verse along this line, Kim. I'm going to ask you to read it. It's 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4.
All right. And I love this. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
I worked really hard a couple of summers ago to memorize that passage. It's two verses. And it was hard because it's so profound. So just to reiterate some of the phrases, He's granted to us all things through the knowledge of Him, His precious and very great promises. We can become partakers of the divine nature. So I'm going to ask that we look at this passage backwards. Because when I was meditating on it, and there's a section in Sprinkle Clean on this passage, in my little pea brain, I had to go backwards. So let's start with, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Right. You know, I read that and go, right, yeah. I can become a partaker of the divine nature. We can participate in God's divine nature. And I don't know if you're like me, but I sometimes have a hard time believing that, knowing I am so prone to my nasty triggering. And you, whoever's listening, might also say, okay, I want that divine nature and I want to become a partaker. Well, this passage says we can. So though it seems like a fantasy at the moment, let's grab that. We can become partakers of God's divine nature. So then the next phrase, through His precious and very great promises. It goes back, ladies and gentlemen, to God's word. Through the knowledge of Him revealed in His word, we can become partakers of His divine nature, granting us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things, like my impatience, your, you know, gluttony on occasion, those temptations, all of our fleshly stuff, right? All things. He didn't say can grant us all things except that, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And all of us have our stuff that pertain to life and godliness that we can't imagine ever getting through and over. And, but he grants us all things, His divine nature in all things. And that ties right into John 15 that says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But His divine power has granted to us all things. with him, all things are possible. So again, just to review it, and then Kim, I want your comments because there's so much here. I feel like we could do a whole series on this passage. So through God's power, not our own, as we claim his promises by meditating on his word, we will share his divine nature through progressive transformation. That's called sanctification, to live a godly, self-controlled life. That's victory. That's victory through Christ. Kim, okay, I'm stirred up about this passage. What are your thoughts?
I can see why, actually. And you know, when I listen, or at least hear that word partake, I think about eating. And when we come back and talking about partaking of God's word, that's how it becomes part of us, because we remember how Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, which means that we human beings were meant to live on two sources of fuel for our natural being and our spiritual being. So in partaking of God's word, that allows us to be transformed so we become more and more Christ-like. And that is such a beautiful process. And I know that you're grateful for it, Judy, and I am too, even though it's not always easy in that transformation process.
Right. And it's not fast. But day by day, you start to feel his presence and sense his presence. I want to make one last comment about God's word, and then we're going to move on to prayer, which is just as important. Let's think about when Jesus was in the desert 40 days, Satan's tempting him. What did he do? He threw God's word at Satan. He's like, get away from me, you dog. And he quoted God's word. Jesus didn't just read God's word. And of course, back then it was the Old Testament. He knew the word. He was filled with the word. So I'm going to invite everyone to join us on Facebook, both at holyhealthclub.com or takebackyourtemple.com, because every week we are memorizing, meditating on, and ideally memorizing a new scripture. So please join us on Facebook. Like us. I like you. Will you like me? I like you. Okay. Secondly, how do we behold him? We read his word and we put on prayer. I heard this quote and I don't even know who said it. And I think I heard it from somebody who said they heard it from somebody and they don't know who said it. But whoever said it was pretty smart. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. So there was a great guy, E.M. Bounds. He was a pastor, author, and he had this great little book that was actually not published until he was in Jesus' presence, and it was called Power Through Prayer. And in that little book, he states, the Holy Spirit does not anoint plans, but men, and I would say, and women of prayer. That's profound. He doesn't anoint plans. He anoints his children who pray. And so if we are earnest about God changing our idolatrous hearts, we must put on prayer daily. There was a man who knew Luther well. His name was Robert Murray McShane. He's quoted as saying about Luther, Luther spent his best 3 hours a day in prayer. Now, I don't know how you do that, but we're called to pray without ceasing. And part of that is raising your hands and memorizing God's word. And that is, in fact, praying. There's another book I want to recommend, and it's just called George Mueller. And it's about George Mueller. And he was an 18th century pastor who was best known for his work building Christian homes and schools for orphans. And his autobiography is unbelievable. Everybody needs to buy it. Give it away. Buy 10. Give everybody you know this book. I have dog-eared several of his statements because there were so many times in his process that they didn't have money. They now have, you know, homes for kids and no food for them. I mean, they would be down to the last little pittance, right? But I just want to read a couple of his quotes. The less that comes in, the more earnestly I pray. The more I look out for answers, and the more assured I am that the Lord, in his own time, will send me all I need. I mean, he has stories, Kim, where literally supper time is 5 o'clock and they don't have any food in the pantry and something comes up and they get to feed the kids that night. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing book. George Mueller, M-U-L-L-E-R. One more quote. How different if one waits for God's own time and looks to him for help and deliverance. When at last help comes, after many hours of prayer and after much faith and patience, how sweet it is. That is a man who has been in the trenches, has been groveling with his God in faith and watched God's hand move. I mean, that it's just so great. So I asked you listeners, what does your prayer life look like? Do you regularly sit and intentionally listen for his still small voice? Or are you just prone? You know, there's this phrase in the Christian community, arrow prayers. It's okay. But is it always just arrow prayers? Oh, help, I need you. Or do you sit and be with your Father? Of course, Richard Foster has a classic book called Prayer. And he says, to believe that God can reach us and bless us in the ordinary junctures of daily life is the stuff of prayer. I love that. And I think we quoted earlier, I know we did last week, it was either last week or the week before, Paul Tripp, another How People Change, great book. He says, I just want to remind you of his recommendation. He says, you already have a new heart. You have been radically changed by his grace and are being progressively restored day by day. The only way to properly celebrate these realities is to humbly ask. This relates to prayer. God, where are you calling me to further change? What qualities that you promised to your children are still not active in my heart? And what you want me to see about you? Those are some profound prayers. Those were part of our action invitation last week. Those are profound prayers. Kim, I would like it if you would read a couple of verses. Matthew 7:7-8, and James 4:7-8.
Okay.
Would you do that?
I will be happy to, my honor. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And then James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Kim, those are some powerful promises. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I want to make one more quick comment about prayer, and then I want to hear your comments, Kim. Specifically, you know, share, especially when you were going through a process of gargantuan weight loss, how did prayer impact that? But I just want to make a quick comment. As many of you know, if you've listened to Stirring Words much, I love praying the word. I like taking the word and just personalizing and praying it. That's like this double whammy against Satan, because you're both in God's word, praying God's word, and praying. I mean, that's like the full double punch against Satan. I simply would throw up one thing that I have found to be lovely in my meditations and prayer life, especially in the context of pray without ceasing, right? Like we need to be in a sort of an attitude of meditation, of prayer always, right? And that's hard. One way I like to do it is what I call phrase prayers. There are innumerable phrases in God's word. I mean, we've talked about some just today that are short prayers or can be transformed into short prayers. And I like to literally meditate on a phrase all day long, the same phrase. For example, you are my God. Holy is thy name. Thy word is truth. Thy will be done. That's a big one, right? Thy will be done. Hope in God. So, listeners, consider some of your favorite phrases from God's word and pray them. So, Kim, please, I know you, I'm sure, have substantial insights on prayer generally, and then we'd love to hear how that was part of your process.
Well, thanks for asking, Judy. Prayer was essential in my process because I recognized that I could not overcome the challenges of emotional or binge eating without God's help. And when you think about having the knowledge of God and the fact that he's omnipotent, which means he's all powerful, we know that he's omnipresent, we know that he's everywhere, and we know that he's omniscient, which means that he knows everything. So when you look at that, I know that I certainly am not all powerful. I'm certainly not all knowing. So I needed to connect with God for his wisdom and his strength to enable me to do what I could not do on my own. And through the daily walk in overcoming these things, I came to know God more and more on a deeper personal level, which was actually more valuable than the weight loss. So prayer was an essential component of me being able to overcome my challenges and be able to reach a healthy weight with God's help. So he got the glory and not me.
Amen. So per usual, I have a couple of action invitations for you, our listeners, and then I'm going to pray us out. I would encourage you to go back and review all the scriptures that we referenced. There were some powerful, powerful, powerful passages. But particularly take time to slowly read through Titus 2, 11 and 12 and 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, because they are absolutely paradigm changing passages. So that's number one. Number two is honestly assess your Bible reading and prayer habits. Is it time to up the ante? And it's always helpful if you partner with someone and you say, look, I'd like to spend more time in prayer. Would you like to pray with me? Or can we be sort of accountability buddies where we commit to praying more, reading God's word more? It just always is better when you partner with someone. And then many of you know, I have a friend whose name is Grace, and she has a website with podcasts and letters, and it's livewellbygrace.com. And she has a couple of posts that are worth reading or listening to about prayer and about God's word. One is called A Grand Bargain, and the other is called Hungry Heart. And then in closing, before I pray out, please share Stirring Words with your friends on social media. Like us. We like you. Like us. Okay, I'm going to pray us out. Gracious, gracious Father, you have granted to us all things. And we doubt that. You give everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of you, and that's part of our problem. We don't know you well enough. We don't seek you often enough. Lord, change that. May anyone and everyone listening here cling to your precious promises so that through them, they would become, we would become, him and I would become, through your precious and very great promises, partakers of your divine nature. For we ask it in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Amen. Looking forward to next week.
Yes, ma'am. Praise and people. Okay, oh, let's goodness. Do it next week. Love you big. Thanks for taking time to hang out with me. Bye.
Yes, I love you too. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. We hope that our podcast is a trusted partner on your wellness journey. If so, please pray about partnering with us in ministry financially and subscribe at takebackyourtemple.com/donation. Keep tuning in on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And be sure to tell your friends about us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to Kim at takebackyourtemple.com and Judy at holyhealthclub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.